Hi, this is Anya Leonard, the co-founder of Classical Wisdom, a site dedicated to the world of ancient Greece and Rome. And I'm here today in Cyprus with the professor of linguistics from the University of Cyprus. And I'd like to talk about ancient Greek dialects. So to begin with, if you don't mind introducing yourself. And
thank you, Mrs. Leonard. My name is Anna Panayiotou, and I work in Cyprus. I'm from Greece, and I am here at the University of Cyprus since 1993. I'm professor of linguistics, and I teach in the history of the Greek language mostly. And willingly, we shall speak about ancient Greek dialects, as you ask me. And please tell me what exactly you would like to hear.
So, obviously, we know that ancient Greek and modern Greek are very different, and that in the ancient Greek world, there was a huge diversity of dialects. How many different dialects were there? What were the main differences that you could find between the different ancient Greek?
In the second millennium Greek, we know just one variety, Mycenaean Greek, which was written in a linear script, which is called commonly Linear B. Of course, as it was written in palaces, there was no variety or very little variety of Greek between the language of Knossos, the palace of Knossos, the palace of Pylos, the palace of Thebes. Of course, there are some differences in deities, some differences in vocabulary, but mainly the structure of the language is similar or identical, because it's the language of the palace. So we have different palaces, different kingdoms, independent from each other, but the language as the official language is identical. After the collapse of Mycenaean kingdoms, we have no texts, because texts were associated to the kingdom and the administration. So the language was the same, and moreover was a written language. Since then, we have some 400 years without any texts, and from the first quarter of the 8th century BC, we have different varieties of Greek written in alphabets, and in Cyprus, especially in a linear script. But otherwise, it's written in alphabets. As at that time, there were many places different, many kingdoms different, and more or less isolated the one from the other, the linguistic differences were big, because of course we can distinguish language dialect families in Ionian, Doric, Aeolian, and Achaic dialect, with slight differences between them, but the families themselves have differences because of the isolation. So the more isolated is a city or a kingdom, the more differences are distinguished. Anywhere at that time, there was no common ethnic Greeks, Hellenists. At that time, there was no common identity. This, for the first time, we find in Archilochus, the poet Archilochus, for the first time speaking of Panhellenes, that is, all the Greeks. And it was at the 7th century. At the 5th century, that is, in classical times, Herodotus speaks about the common identity of Greeks, and he finds as the common features the religion, the language, and the common customs. That is, at the 5th century BC, there is a sense of community in writers, and this is opposed to non-Greeks who had different religion, different language. And this is some other writers of the classical period have the same opinion as for the opposition between Greek and non-Greek. During Hellenistic period, during classical periods, we see that the Greeks knew the differences between the dialects. Aristophanes, for example, made Athenians to laugh with the differences of the pronunciation, of the vocabulary. He knew the differences, and he used them in his place. Of course, we can distinguish the view of someone who is very proud of his own language, his own dialect, which is very influential. And it's written, it's used at all the Mediterranean world more and more. And of course, the others, that is the Spartans, who, for example, gained the Peloponnesian War, but the influence of Attic Greek on their dialect can be seen on their inscriptions through the 4th century BC. And at the end, already of the 5th century, local varieties of Ionian or other dialects start to diminish. And the written code is very influenced by Attic Greek.
Well, is it Homer that wrote in Attic Greek?
No, Homer wrote in Ionian Greek. But it was a poet which was known, and it was part of the schooling to use him as a poet, as a source for Greekness, for example. Anyway, from the beginning of the 4th century, the influence of Attic Greek becomes more apparent, more and more, on written texts. And at the Hellenistic period, that is from 323 BC, after the death of Alexander, we start speaking about Hellenistic period. The influence of Greek, of Attic Greek, on all the dialects is great, and they have and this has not any reversal. That is, it's without the Greek starts to change in all over Greek speaking world, and the new form of Greek, which overcame all other local dialects, is Koine. Koine has as its base Attic Greek, with some influences, especially in phonology, in some suffixes of Ionian. And of course, there are some other words, the vocabulary came from other dialects, some of them from Macedonia, as it was the great power of the time. So from the last quarter of the 4th century BC onwards, Koine replaced gradually all other dialects. Of course, some forms of Greek were very influential because they were, as we call them, literary dialects. For example, all the epics are composed in Ionian. There are some revivification of Doric Greek during Roman period. There is some revivification of Aeolian Greek.
That was what Sappho wrote in, right?
Yes, because exactly of Sappho, but they are mostly imitations and of a dialect which was no more alive. And we know them, we know the situation very well because of the inscriptions. The inscriptions as direct sources of the language reveal that the languages were perhaps spoken a little bit. The vocabulary, names, personal names, but the structure of the language was that of the Koine. That is, grammar, syntax, and the basic of the vocabulary.
So do we know how these different dialects were pronounced? Or
yes, exactly. Because we have many inscriptions, and we have some mistakes in writing, which reveal the changes and the and if we study why we have mistakes, it reveals the ancient pronunciation which changed, and we have also some ancient grammarians who studied or tried to reconstruct ancient dialects, but from Hellenistic period onwards, where when there were no more spoken dialects. So it's a little bit like if you try to reconstruct English some 8 centuries after this language stopped to be used, or this form of language. Anyway, we have many information, much information about pronunciation. The grammar of ancient dialects, but our information is not equal. That is, we have more information about Attic, and less about Ionian, because scripts and in general writing was widespread in Athens more than in Sparta, for example, which was prohibited to write, for example, the laws and the names of the dead, except if he was killed in war, or for a woman, if she died during giving birth to a child. So these exceptions were very common, and for example, in Spartan archaic period, we have the name of the lady, and then the word leho, which means a woman which gave birth and died.
And I assume that would have been somewhat more common back then.
Yes, of course. At that period, exactly, the child death was very widespread for reasons you can imagine. And that's why we have very few texts from some regions and many more from others, especially others.
Would you be able to give a few examples of what are the differences between, say, Attic and Ionian?
Yes. For example, we have the equivalent of thalassa, which is the sea. In Attic Greek was pronounced thalata. In Ionian was thalassa. And through Koine, as I said, it was the word, the Ionian word, which was survived. because much of modern Greek language survived from Koine. We have many structures common, more than other languages of the world, which survived through the Byzantine and modern periods, because there was a continuous written tradition and a very conservative one, although the change of Christianity from ancient idolatry changed to Christianity, much of the vocabulary and the respect of many writers, Christian writers, to ancient philosophers permitted to continue to have to multiply the copists of ancient writers and to have many works of ancient writers transmitted through the ages. And some other examples, differences between Attic and other dialects. For example, Lochagos is a word which is used in the army, the sergeant. The word was introduced probably by Macedonians because it's not Attic. And it was survived through Koine till modern period. It's still in use. Other differences in ancient Attic. In Attic Greek, the male was arsen, and in modern Ionian, for example, was aren. In modern Greek, we have this dual forms. We have scholio arenon, which is the school for boys, which was influenced by the written language, and it's still in use. But we have same word, arsenikos, which continues the Ionian form, which is the common word for male. Mm-hmm. Mm. So either the purest language or the modern Greek dialects continued to use, and standard modern Greek is the heritage of both, continue to use either the forms of Attic or the forms of Koine Greek.
It's very interesting. And it's interesting to see which words survive, which ones get taken out. I'm sure that's very telling of the different people and their interests at different times. So just to finalize, can you tell me what you're working on right now? What kind of projects you're studying?
For the moment, I have some some projects which started some years before, First one is a prosopography of ancient Cyprus from archaic period to the end of the 4th century BC. So it's the history of all the persons related to Cyprus in this period, or the history of Cypriots who had a role, for example, in Alexander's army, or in Athens, or in some other places. So the prosopography is towards the end. It's a project which started with late Dr. Ino Nicolaou, who died earlier this year, and I hope to have to finish the book by the end of this year. And I work also on medieval Cypriot with a former colleague, Jim Davy. And we try to distinguish the grammar and the vocabulary of medieval Greek, which Cypriot Greek, which was influenced by French and Italian of the time, and we make grammar. We study the phonology and the syntax of this form of Greek, which was one of the of the modern Greek dialects, medieval and modern Greek dialects, which was very rich in literature.
Wow, that's very interesting. You'll have to send me a copy of the book when it's done.
With pleasure.
Well, I want to thank you again for taking your time out and speaking with me today. And thank you.
Thank you.